almost just, you know, close, right? But we're still kicking. Okay. I there's something about holidays that just kind of throw my whole week off. You know, I love the holidays. I love getting together with family and all that, but it just feels like I'm out of whack somehow. I woke up this morning like, is this Sunday? You know, it just kind of messes me up. So, a couple other people know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Well, we've been talking about the church. You know, what is the church and why does the church exist? All of that. And I think we've clearly established that the church is people. It's not a building. It's not just a service, but it's people who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've talked about kind of the question of why does the church exist, or the purpose of the church. And we established that it's to reach the lost. That's one of the reasons the Lord established the church, is he wants to reach lost people. And then last week we talked about the focus of the church, that we want to keep on moving towards the fullness of Christ, unity, and spiritual maturity. And that's found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, where it's clearly talking about how Jesus established the church for these purposes. Until we have reached all of those goals, the church still has stuff to do. That's our purpose. And now today I want to focus on the activity of the church. And, you know, what does the church do? What's required of us? And in the United States Army, every soldier has some requirements. They are required to meet some basic qualifications, which includes physical fitness and knowledge of weapons and things like that. And so in the church, God's army, which we talked about, there are also some fundamental things for us to know and participate in. Now, when we talk about these things, individuals may kind of specialize in one or two, but really, these five things that we're going to talk about today are for every believer. Okay, we all need to be involved in these. These are our basic assignments. Now, we do a lot of ministry. I mean, if you ran down the list of everything our church does, it's quite the list. A lot of ministry. But what are the basics? I believe everything we do can be boiled down to five basic activities. And I know for some of you this is a review, but it's a good kind of review because, you know, we need to practice the basics. Right? What was Vince Lombardi's famous quote? This is a football. Okay? He's talking to professional football players, but he starts with the basics. This is a football. And so we're talking about basic fundamental things today. There's basically five things that we as a church are called to do. Now, they take on a lot of different names and a lot of different shapes, but they really boil down to these five things. And number one is worshiping. That's one of the activities we do. It's one of the things we're required to do. Worshiping is extravagant respect. It's admiration. It's devotion. And we're talking about worshiping God. Matthew 4:10, Jesus said, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." So it's worshiping God and God alone. And so easily we get into other things that we worship. And, you know, we don't think of it as worship, but sometimes we're actually worshiping other things. You know what I'm talking about? Like possessions and, you know, other heroes in our life. And the scripture calls us to worship God alone. Only God is worthy of our worship. Now, what does worship look like? Well, we've talked about this before, but Psalm 95 mentions singing, shouting, thanksgiving, music, bowing down and kneeling. Those are all forms of worship. And we worship God. This is one of the callings of every person in the church. It's not just for the singers up here in the front, but every church person is called to worship. So you can look at your neighbor and say, hey, you need to worship. Are you doing it? Okay, I heard a couple people. And this worshiping thing is something that you kind of learn to do. Urban Letzer says you don't learn to praise in a day, especially since you may have been complaining for years. And some new habits take time to develop, but you can begin today, practice tomorrow and the next day until it becomes a part of you. This worshiping of God needs to just be part of who we are. sacrifice of praise will always you something. It may be a difficult thing to do. Worshiping God and God alone and giving Him your best is not always easy to do. Right? I'll give you a real practical example just today. I was raising my hands in worship. Okay, because I think that's an effective way to praise and worship. But I tell you what, my elbow and my shoulder have been killing me the last couple of days. Okay? And so that was a little bit painful for me to do that. It still is right now. Okay? But it's a sacrifice of praise. And so I made the choice. I know I'm not going to do serious injury to my body. It just hurts a little bit. Okay? So I'm sacrificing that and giving praise to God, even in spite of the pain. Okay? Now, there's many forms of worship. We talked about these already. But true worship, it comes from the heart. It's not just the form. Because we can easily just go through motions. And it may not mean a thing. In John 4:23, Jesus said, "A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So this is a heartfelt thing. Do you really love the Lord? Do you really love the Lord? Then it should come out in praise and worship. And this heartfelt worship is actually something God is looking for. It says these are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. And so many times people are kind of looking for God. Where's God and how do I find God? Well, God's actually looking for you if you're worshiping Him in spirit and truth. Romans 12:1 actually really summarizes what praise and worship is all about. It says that we should offer ourselves a living sacrifice to God. And that's our spiritual act of worship. So really, it's not just the singing and shouting and kneeling and all of those things. While that's part of worship, ultimate worship is from the heart that just says, "Yes, Lord. Here I am. I'm yours, God. Whatever you want, I say yes to you." That ultimately is what worship is. And it's one of our very first callings in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We love to quote this one. "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." Now, we often quote that one. And we like the idea of being chosen and royal. We're chosen people. We're royal priesthood. And that sounds great, doesn't it? And it is. It really is. Don't be worried that I'm going to trick you. It really is a fantastic thing that we are chosen by God and we're part of a royal priesthood. But there's more than just that. The purpose of all of that is that we may declare His praises. So one of the activities, one of the duties and responsibilities of the church, of all of us, is to worship God. And so let's do some right now. One of the forms of worship is Thanksgiving, which we just celebrated. And so we're going to practice right now. What are some things you are thankful for? Just one at a time. Speak. Family. Food, I heard. Life, education, Jesus, being able to get around, health, hope, nice weather, yeah, friends, freedom, for your pastor, okay, your wife, good answer. Love of Jesus, our church, I heard. form of worship, and we are all called to worship. That's one of the five basics for us. The second one is evangelizing. That is to preach the gospel. It's to announce the good news. It's what is mentioned in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." He's called us to be witnesses for him. What does a witness do? They give a testimony. They tell what they've seen and heard or what they know. We are all called to that. And this is the activity that fulfills the purpose of reaching the lost, which we just talked about recently. One of the reasons the church exists is to reach the lost, and one of the ways we do it is evangelizing. People need the Lord. And we're not just talking about how to have a better life. Okay? There really is an eternity to be faced. An eternity in heaven or hell. That really exists. And people will face one of those. So evangelizing becomes a big deal when you think of it in those terms. All of eternity is at stake. People need the Lord. And Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved." Speaking of Jesus Christ, there's only one way to get to heaven, through Jesus Christ. And so we've got to get that word out. We've got to let people know. We've got to point them in the right direction. We are literally saving people from a fire. Evangelizing is one of the calls of the church. And Romans 10, verses 13 through 15 kind of lays it out how it works. It says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Okay, that's, in essence, that's the good news. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then it goes on and says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." And so people need to hear the gospel. And that means somebody has to tell them the gospel. And that means somebody might have to send them to preach the gospel. You see how it all flows together? And we are all part of this process. And one easy way to be involved in evangelizing is by giving financially to MVP. That's our missionary venture plan. And we support missionaries around the world because there are some who this is their specialty. They go and evangelize full time. And they need our support. And so we can be amongst those who are sending them to preach the good news. And so we are part of the evangelism process when we support them. But even if you are not called to be a missionary in a foreign field, we are all called to evangelize and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Every one of us has that calling. And D.L. Moody breaks it down real simple for us. He says, "If this world is going to be reached, I'm convinced that it must be done by men and women of average talent. After all, there are comparatively few people in the world who have great talents. So it's up to us, the average Joes, to get out there and reach lost people." So this would be a good spot to turn to your neighbor and say, "You need to evangelize." Okay, very good. It's what we're all called to do. And here's another real simple way. Invite somebody to church. Okay, the Institute for American Church Growth asked 10,000 people what led them to church. At 79%, the number one answer was friends or relatives. All the other answers were less than 10%. And don't forget, we created those "You're Invited" business cards that just simply says, "Hey, you're invited to come to church." That's an easy, simple, kind of first step way to evangelize. Now, I think there's other ways you can evangelize as well. And we talked about those very recently, and you could go back in our sermon notes and get those things about how to start up a conversation with somebody about the things of God and how to walk somebody through a salvation prayer and things like that. But simply just start with inviting somebody to church. Start by giving financially to MVP, because there's missionaries out there doing it full time and we're sending them. But we're all part of evangelism. And here's an even simpler way. Cecil Northcott tells of a discussion in a camp of young people where representatives of many nations were living together at this camp. And he says, one night the campers were discussing various ways of telling people about Christ. And everybody had their own idea. Here's the best, here's how I do it, here's what I think is the best way. And then they turned to the girl from Africa. And Maria, they asked, what do you do in your country? Oh, she said, we just send one or two Christian families to live and work in a village. And when people see what Christians are like, then they want to be Christians too. Okay? So there it is. Be a living testimony. Live like a Christian's supposed to live. Sunday morning only Christians are not really Christians. Ooh, did the pastor just say that? Yeah. You need to live it every day. And when people see the love of Jesus flowing through you, it's going to draw them to Christ. So evangelize in the way you live. And then that leads me to the next thing. Basic activity of the church is serving. We give help. We meet needs. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So here's the, in a nutshell, serving is love in action. Love in action. You love the Lord? Okay. And Jesus said the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. You love your neighbor? Are you trying to love your neighbor? Okay. All right. That might be a little more realistic. One of the ways we love is by serving. Charles Kingsley, he kind of puts a fun twist on it. He says, if you want to be miserable, okay, if you want to be miserable, then think a lot about yourself, about what you want, what you like, what respect people ought to pay you, and what people think of you. So when it's all me, 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 you're on the misery bandwagon. Back in Ephesians chapter 4, we've talked about this a lot because it's kind of the core of work. How we think about church. It says Jesus gave some, and he talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. We're all called to serve, to put love into action. In John chapter 13, Jesus set us the example by serving the disciples in the lowest possible fashion by washing their feet. He set the example. We are all called to serve. It's been said that many Christians suffer from loneliness because they are sitting instead of serving. Let me address that just for a minute. I know that many times when we talk about serving, some will only think we're just trying to recruit more help. Now, while that might be part of the deal, that we do need help, there's also a benefit for you. When you serve, you get to know more people and not be so lonely. You will get a sense of satisfaction from having a part in something important. In Acts 20, verse 35, it says, we remember the words of the Lord Jesus himself when he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that's not just talking about giving money. It's talking about serving others. There's a blessing in serving others. I get a witness for this? When you do something nice for somebody else and you help them out, doesn't that make you feel better too? Yes, it does. Here's 10 ways to get rid of the blues. Go out and do something for someone else and then repeat it 9 times. Okay. So we got worshiping, evangelizing, serving, and then number 4, basic activity of the church is fellowshipping. Having something in common. It's a partnership, a participation. It's sharing life together. This is part of the call of church, of Christians everywhere. Now, people join churches more because they want warmth than they want light. Sermons may get them into church the first time, but what keeps them coming are friendships that foster inward awareness and support. That's actually a quote from somebody else. But in fact, one of the plumb lines here at OBC is this. We understand that programs and preaching attract people, but personal connections and clear purpose keep them. People might start coming to our church because we have some program that they're really interested in. You know, particularly if people with young kids want to know, well, what does your church have for kids? And so that might get them in the door. Or they might come and just try the church out, and they like the preaching, okay, so they decide to come again. But for a long-term thing, they've got to make some personal connections, friendships, fellowship. And so this is a vital part of the church. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So there it is. Spur one another on. Don't stop meeting together, but encourage each other. That's all part of the fellowship thing that we're talking about. And it says, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's just put this real plain and simple. Times are getting more and more difficult for believers. It is. There is an anti-Christian bias spreading throughout our nation. And there is outright persecution of believers in many parts of the world. And so, church, we need each other. We need each other. Corrie Ten Boom says, be united with other Christians. A wall with loose bricks is not good. The bricks must be cemented together. We need each other. Billy Graham says, churchgoers are like coals in a fire. When they cling together, they keep the flame aglow. But when they separate, they die out. We need each other. And so we fellowship with each other. We share life together. And then the fifth basic activity of the church is discipling. Growing up in the faith, helping others follow Christ and move on to maturity. Jesus said this when he gave the great commission to the disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. He says, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Learning to obey Christ. Hebrews 6:1 says, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Now, last week we talked about spiritual maturity and perfection. There is always more growing to do as a Christian. None of us have reached the epitome yet. None of us has reached the stage of perfection quite yet. Well, some are getting close. Since we're doing the look at your neighbor thing, you could say, I think you're probably closer than I am. And so since we have not reached perfection in Christ, that we've talked about, that is one of the callings of the church, to become perfect in Christ. Colossians 1:28 says so. Since we haven't reached that, we've all still got some more growing to do. And so we need to keep on being discipled. I'm sure you've heard this before. What you are is God's gift to you. What you make of yourself is your gift to God. Keep on growing. Don't be satisfied with where you are. You know, know, the Christian walk is like riding a bicycle. You're either moving forward or you're falling off. Okay? Billy Graham says it this way: salvation is free, but discipleship costs everything we have. Don't be satisfied with just your ticket into heaven, but keep on growing in your faith. Be part of the discipleship process. I believe that the walk with Christ is all uphill. There's no leveling off. Another way to look at it is this: God is on the move. His kingdom is advancing. So if we're just sitting still, we're getting left behind. Okay? As I said before, that being in the kingdom is, just being in the kingdom is far less than God intends for his people. He wants us to be continually growing, maturing, and advancing. So just having your ticket to heaven, that's only the starting point. Keep on growing. Now, you can learn, like Paul, to be content in any circumstance, but you should never settle for less than God's best. Okay? There's a big difference between being content in any circumstance and settling for something less than God's best. We need to keep growing in our faith. Now, the early church, if you read the book of Acts, particularly Acts chapter 2, you see that they had all five of these things going. They were worshiping, evangelizing, serving, fellowshipping, and discipling. That was the pattern that was established right in the very early days and is still for us today. David Ravenhill says, most Christians readily acknowledge that they have been saved, but all too many fail to understand that they have been called. Now, when we talk about calling, we often think about the fivefold ministry gifts of the church. Oh, pastor, evangelist, teacher, prophet, apostle. We think of those things. That's a calling, and they are, but every Christian is called. Called to these five things. Now, many people are happy to believe in God and even ask him for forgiveness, but often people stop right there. And eventually their faith falls apart and they think Christianity doesn't work. The problem isn't with Christianity, it's with people who quit too soon. Some even agree with the goals of our focus of the unity, maturity, and the fullness of Christ, but it's in word and thought only. Yeah, okay, I get it. Sounds good. Do you want your faith to be real? Then you got to put it into action. Then get on with the assignments. You want your faith to be real, then you need to worship. Don't just stand there with your arms folded. Honor God. Praise God. Worship God. You want your faith to be real? Evangelize. Let your Christianity show. Talk to your friends and family about your faith. Invite them to church. Simple things like that. Do you want your faith to grow, then serve. Get involved in church ministries. Don't just take. Start giving your time and your energy. Do something for someone else. You want your faith to grow? Then fellowship. Don't be a recluse. Don't just hang out with bad influences. Be around other strong believers. Be at church. Join a small group. It will impact your faith. You want your faith to be real? Then disciple. You personally need to be discipled and keep growing in your faith. And you also can be a discipler who helps others grow in their faith. And I tell you what, that's where I feel the rubber really meets the road and I really get moving. When I'm helping somebody else grow in their faith and I'm discipling them, then I'm really growing. Others can testify that you understand what I'm talking about. When I start giving into somebody else's life, guess what happens to me? I grow. Absolutely. We are not done yet, church. There's work to do. Five basic things that we're called to do. And I believe as food and water are fuel to the human body, so is God's presence to his church. We need his presence, and that's the fire just as the human body is made strong and builds muscle through exercise, so is the church strengthened by carrying out its duties. And the opposite implication is obvious. The human body can become out of shape and unhealthy without exercise. Can I get a witness? Okay. So the church can also become distorted and unhealthy if we're not doing the activities that we're called to do. It's the combination. Listen, it's the combination of entering his presence and executing our practices that lead to a healthy and growing church. We welcome his presence. We fuel up on the presence of God, but then we get out there and we do what he's called us to do. That makes us strong and healthy. So we're eating right and we're exercising. His presence, our activities. So let us be active in carrying out our responsibilities and thereby grow and build up the church. Five basic things. Can you count to five? Okay. What's the church called to do? It's not a list of a million things. Five things. That's it. Five things. Worshiping, evangelizing, serving, fellowshipping, discipling. Now those come in lots of different combinations. And, you know, some of the activities we do kind of cross over and all of that. But really, it's just five things. That's not too hard. Most of us have jobs that require much more than five things. But God's just asking us for five things. Do the five things. That's our calling. And it's for every one of us. We're all called to worship. Give ourselves wholeheartedly to God. We're all called to evangelize. Tell others the good news. We're all called to serve. Help out. Be there for somebody else. We're all called to fellowship and encourage each other. And we're all called to disciple, either by being discipled or by discipling others. Every one of us. Five things. I didn't plan on this say to your neighbor thing today, but it seems to be the theme today. So you could say to your neighbor today, I got five things to do. I've got five things to do. And that applies to every one of us. Okay? Now, you can practice one or two of these even before you leave the building. Okay, the fellowshipping is kind of obvious and easy since we're all right here. Say something encouraging to somebody else. Or perhaps you can see somebody might need a little help with something, then serve. Then when you get out there, evangelize. Pick up one of those cards on the way out that says you're invited. Invite somebody to church. Okay? And next, when you come to church, plan on giving yourself wholeheartedly into the worship of God. Now, you can do that today and tomorrow and every day as well. And then disciple. Grow up. Help somebody else grow up. Five things. I don't only need one hand to count to five. I don't have to take my shoes off to count my toes or nothing. It's just five things. Pretty simple. Again, this is a football. This is basic stuff, but it's important stuff. Five things. Let's stand. Let's pray. God, I thank you that while what you've called us to do is kind of profound and monumental, you've broken it down into five easy steps. Five easy things that we can all participate in. And Lord, help us to be faithful in what you've called us to do. Help us all to be good worshipers. Help us all to be out there evangelizing, telling the good news. Help us all to be servants. Help us all to be fellowshipping and encouraging each other, and help us all to be good disciples and disciplers. Doing the stuff you've called us to do. Not just take, but doing what you've called us to do. And God, we need your grace and your power, because we understand in our own strength, in our own wisdom, none of this really amounts to anything. But when we're empowered by your Spirit, anything becomes possible if we simply will obey and do these five things you've called us to. So Lord, we submit to you and we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we will be your church, and we will do what you called us to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. God's blessings on you. Have a great week. Do the stuff.